My name is Julie Tai, and I am the Director of Chapel at Fuller Theological Seminary. Welcome to Fuller Studios' audio stream of sermons drawn from campus chapels and preachers throughout our extended community.
Today's scripture reading is from Acts chapter 18, verses 18 through 28. After Paul stayed in Corinth for some time, he said goodbye to the brothers and sisters. At the Corinthian seaport of Cenchrea, he had his head shaved since he had made a solemn promise. Then, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila, he sailed away to Syria. After they arrived in Ephesus, he left Priscilla and Aquila and entered the synagogue and interacted with the Jews. They asked him to stay longer, but he declined. As he said farewell to them, though, he added, "God willing, I will return." And then he sailed off from Ephesus. He arrived in Caesarea, went up to Jerusalem and greeted the church, and then went down to Antioch. After some time there, he left and traveled from place to place in the region of Galatia and the district of Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Meanwhile, a certain Jew named Apollos arrived in Ephesus. He was a native of Alexandria and was well-educated and effective in his use of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord and spoke as one stirred up by the Spirit. He taught accurately the things about Jesus, even though he was aware only of the baptism John proclaimed and practiced. He began speaking with confidence in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they received him into their circle of friends and explained to him God's way more accurately. When he wanted to travel to Achaia, the brothers and sisters encouraged him and wrote to the disciples so they would open their homes to him. Once he arrived, he was of great help to those who had come to believe through grace. He would vigorously defeat Jewish arguments in public debate, using the scriptures to prove that Jesus was the Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
There's a lot of travel going on in this passage today. And all that movement from city to city and church to church honestly makes me a little envious. It's been a long time since I've traveled, and this might be the case for you. The other day, I drove from Orange, where I live, to Fuller's Pasadena campus, and I packed as if I were going to New York City. It's been a long time, and it felt like an epic journey. Our text today opens with Paul in Corinth, alongside his co-workers, Priscilla and Aquila. But the location quickly shifts to Ephesus. Ephesus was not only the fourth largest city in the Roman Empire, and the capital of the province of Asia, but it was a significant hub for the church's growing witness, as evident in the way it features prominently in Acts. It's here in Ephesus that Priscilla, Aquila, and Apollos develop a really significant relationship. So who are these people, and where are they from? Well, Priscilla and Aquila are Jewish refugees. They were expelled from Rome, according to Acts 18:1-2, because of the edict of Claudius. And then they migrated to Corinth, where they met the Apostle Paul and became his co-workers. They helped Paul found the church in Corinth and Ephesus. They are a dynamic wife and husband ministry team and were teachers, leaders, and house church hosts. In fact, they are mentioned 6 times in the New Testament, both by Luke and Paul. And 4 out of the 6 times, Priscilla, also known as Prisca, is mentioned first. Now, this atypical ordering of names where the wife is named before the husband likely suggests that she was a more prominent teacher and mentor of the two within Christian circles. So let us remember, friends, that from the beginning, the church had women in the trenches serving as missionaries, ministers, preachers, teachers, and leaders. Let's not forget to thank God for the Priscillas in our lives. Now, what's interesting is that Luke takes the time to mention Aquila's hometown. Aquila is a native of Pontus, so we're told in 18:2. Contrary to Alexandria's reputation of being a place of great sophistication, Pontus was regarded as backcountry, where people were simple and uneducated. In contrast, Apollos is a Jew from Alexandria. This is a famous famous university city town like Cambridge, Massachusetts. It was the intellectual center of the Roman Empire and the second most important city after Rome itself. Alexandria also had a large, flourishing Jewish population. So it comes to no surprise that Apollos is well-educated, well-versed in scriptures. Do you know anyone like that? So imagine a compelling, charismatic, educated, biblically steeped, eloquent Apollos who comes to town preaching about Jesus. And he encounters Priscilla, who almost certainly did not have a formal theological education, and Aquila, who is from a region stereotyped as being full of country bumpkins. And they have the audacity to take him under their wing to explain God's way more accurately. You'd think Apollos would be saying to himself, "And who are you to teach me? What are your credentials? Do you know where I'm from and the education that I've received? Do you see these crowds that I'm drawing and the people coming to listen to me? The Spirit is clearly anointing me." But Apollos doesn't do that. He receives their teaching, their correction and training. In other words, he's willing to be schooled by them. He doesn't resist being mentored and matured in his understanding of the gospel and in his faith. Now, imagine if you were Priscilla and Aquila, and a person like Apollos came to town preaching with fervor and fire. Would you as a leader feel threatened and insecure? Would you feel maybe suspicious or protective? Priscilla and Aquila, as NT scholar Van Tan Nguyen points out, are people who know firsthand the importance of hospitality. After all, they themselves are itinerant missionaries and migrants. They don't attempt to shut Apollos down or shut him up. Rather, they offer him hospitality, or as the CEB translates, they received him in verse 26. That is, they bring him into Christian fellowship. Priscilla and Aquila receive Apollos hospitably and bring him alongside other believers. Now, we don't exactly know what it is about Apollos' theology and understanding of God that needed correcting. But that's really not the point. We see how and by whom he's taught. Well, he's taught communally. He's taught by leaders who were faithful and respected and trusted among the churches. In Romans 16:3, Paul praises Priscilla and Aquila as colleagues in the work of the gospel who risked their necks in the trenches for his life, and for whom all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks. As Willie Jennings explains, Priscilla and Aquila bring clarity and precision to Apollos' powerful, zealous, yet incomplete faith. Now, let's be honest. Who among us doesn't have an incomplete faith? I'm not just talking about students here. I'm talking about the most revered and renowned scholars among us, the most gifted pastors. Even the most learned and seasoned Christians must learn and be schooled as disciples of Christ within the body of Christ. Apollos needed to get schooled. He needed to get set straight in the ways of the Lord by allowing other believers to get in his way. Did you catch that? Apollos let others get in his way as he tried to follow the way. He needed to allow wise and faithful people like Priscilla and Aquila to mentor and teach him. He needed to mature, to learn, to grow. He needed a holy disruption. And notice that Priscilla and Aquila don't obstruct or prevent Apollos from preaching the gospel, but actually they help mature and equip him in the ways of the Lord so that he can continue to do this very work with more theological clarity and precision. Apollos shows himself as one who's teachable and humble. Even though he's got a pretty great thing going, he's a really good teacher and he knows a lot about Christ and the scriptures. Priscilla and Aquila show themselves as hospitable teachers. They recognize his giftedness, but don't allow his giftedness to stop them from pointing out areas he needed to grow as a minister in knowledge and understanding. Through their mentorship, Apollos becomes even more a more effective preacher. And we learn that he continues to preach the gospel. He matures in his understanding. And as he does so, he goes on to help others mature. So one common practice that we all share as believers and as members of the Fuller community is study. And a lot of you guys, I'm grateful you're here because you have, it's the last week of the quarter and you have papers and finals to take. But we here nurture a faith that seeks understanding. So whether you descend from a lineage of pastors or are new to the faith, went to top Ivy League schools or scraped through the community college system, whether you're from Alexandria or Pontus, Cambridge or Kalamazoo, or somewhere in between, we are all disciples, lifelong students of our Lord, with so much to offer and so much to learn. So let me close today with a few questions for you to reflect on as the winter quarter comes to a close and as we continue our Lenten journey to the cross. In what ways do you need to be schooled and let others in your way? How might you be resisting the Spirit's maturing work in you? Who do you invite to speak into your life, to challenge, correct, train, encourage, and yes, even rebuke you? I want to encourage you to take inventory of who you listen to, who you read and go to for resources and advice, because it will reveal who you think speaks for Christ. And if your mentors and teachers all look, sound, and pretty much look, think like you, you may need a holy disruption. Amen.
You have been listening to a production of Fuller Studio. Fuller Studio provides articles, podcasts, videos, and other resources for a deeply formed spiritual life. Subscribe on your favorite podcast app or visit us at fuller.edu/studio.